Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Oh,
Shake You Down by Gregory Abbott, and welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle. I first want to give all honor and glory to my Heavenly Father, because for anybody who knows me, I had just had surgery yesterday, and something went wrong, which should have been 45 minutes or an hour. Turned out to be an eight-hour ordeal. My oxygen level dropped. It was a code blue. And right now, because my policy is, if my eyes ain't closed, the show will go on. So I got a cast on my foot. I'm propped up in my office with benches and pillows and everything. But I got a fantastic co-host, Mark Anthony Real, handsome brother out of California, who holds me up and keeps me going. But, you know, I first want to say thank you to all my listeners, north to south, east to west, and all my global audiences out of Canada, United Kingdom, Nigeria, Africa, Cameroon, Africa, Australia, Pakistan, Peru, and I'm looking forward to getting some more people to tune in because, you know, we get turned up on this show, and we got a very fantastic guest tonight for y'all, and this lady, my Lord, she is beautiful, is Dr. Catherine Foster, Ph.D. She is a psychologist in private practice in Fort Worth, Texas, with a master's degree in marriage and family counseling. You know something, and you know all of y'all, even when y'all married, y'all know y'all need some help. Okay, this is some free help tonight. If you want to call in to 347-945-6003 and hit the one key, lets me know you got a question because, hey, you're not here with the judges on TV. What's the lady come on the divorce court? You know, the little short, pretty lady, Judge Tola. She ain't here tonight, but we got Catherine Foster, Ph.D., on the mic tonight. And she also has practiced psychotherapy for 27 years. She is also the author of two novels, you know, and my Lord, she has written two nonfiction companion books to The Naked Truth About Men and Romance. Right up my alley. I got a whole lot of questions I'm going to ask this lady. And they are what women want. Really? Woo, woo, woo. So before we bring her on, I got to introduce my co-host. How you doing, Mark, baby?
I'm doing great, Terry. Hello to all our global listeners and to our distinguished guest, Dr. Catherine Foster.
Hello, Mark, and hi, yes. Terry. And Terry, I'm glad you're alive and with us.
Praise God. Thank
Good.
You, Lord, man, because I'm here for a reason. But, man, tonight the reasons is all about you, darling. And I just can't wait to just jump right in because, you know, everybody has some romance issues that they've had that didn't work and some do work. But, you know, I want to know something about some men. Now, I'm just going to throw it out there, you know. What does this mean when you have a guy who talks to you rather frequently, you know, and the conversation is banging, then all of a sudden, out the blue, the conversation stops, they act like Houdini, they go into hiding, and I'm trying to figure that out. Why is this? Because, you know, I don't want to be known to be the one who give up too soon because, you know, I have probably zero tolerance for nonsense. And to me, you know, we adults, man. If you want to get with me, I want to get with you. Let's talk about it. Communication is key. But when you don't even talk, you know, and you send me these little posts from time to time, I don't want that. I want to hear your voice in my ear. Am I wrong?
Well, let me explain that, okay? Women are what we call empathizers, most women. And that means that they attach in order to read somebody. Okay? Mm-hmm. Read their feelings and see how those feelings affect them and so on. Now, romance is obviously about attachment, especially for we who are women. But the deal is that men, most men, tend to be systemizers. And that means that they back off and detach to observe a system. Now, a system can be a pencil sharpener or it can be world economics. But they back off, they detach. So men have an automatic way of being that involves attaching and detaching, attaching and detaching. Women
That's confusing.
Are
Why do
very,
that?
yeah, women are very put off by that because it doesn't seem like love. Now, the truth is that it is not the love that a female gives. She remains attached. So even if a guy doesn't text or call for, you know, 3-5 days, whatever, it seems like he's playing a game or something, but actually this is how his brain works, and she has to interpret it in a different way. It doesn't really have meaning.
Okay, because to me, it's like, you know, come on now, you know, I'm giving my space to you, you know, I'm not, you know, trying to entertain nobody else, you know, and I'm giving you 100% of my focus, and, you know, you're going to treat me like a knucklehead. I mean, I need to know if you're feeling me, I need to hear your voice in my ear. I'm sorry. I need you to sit there and say that sweet nothings every day. I don't care if you don't talk to me 24/7, but check in once a day.
Yeah, I know. And probably what you'll end up doing, Terry, is having a sit-down talk and expressing what you need. But when you do that, it's very important how a woman does that, you know, because women are empathy-driven. So they believe that if they just tell a guy how they feel and how bad it is and how awful it is what he's doing, that a light will come on in his eyes and he'll go, oh, you feel that way.
Yeah.
Okay, then. And everything will be solved because he's being empathic with her. Only that isn't how it works. What happens is he's testosterone driven. He's motivated by wins, W-I-N-S. And so he's, as you're complaining and expressing your feelings, he is trying to listen for the bottom line of what you really want him to do. How can he become successful? So if instead of going through all the feelings, at least first, you know, what you do in the beginning with him, is you say what you want. You say, it would mean so much to me if you checked in with me every day. I would just feel so much more connected. Now, when he hears that he's going to be appreciated for doing something, he's much more likely to do it. Because what happens with guys is that, now a woman has to really picture this, okay? What happens with a guy is that when he has a win, when he does something, you know, when he texts you the next day or he calls you or whatever, and you go, I appreciate that so much, that makes me feel so connected, you know, then that registers as a win with him. Now, for guys, when they have a win like that, their dopamine immediately goes up. And dopamine is that stuff that makes us feel good, right? And then after that, their testosterone goes up. So they feel like a man, and they feel confident and good about themselves. So when a woman gives a guy a win, that's what happens. And that's why women have to word it that way.
Well, Dr. Foster, you know, I got to pat myself on the back then because, you know, a lot of people act out different ways when they don't get the attention that they want.
Yeah.
But I can honestly say that I have been open about my feelings and how I feel that whatever it is, we should communicate this. You know, I just want to make sure that you're okay, you know, and it's good that you text me, but I would like to hear your voice in my ear. I say all the right things. I haven't went, you know, crazy screaming and negative, but you know what I do also include, I say, well, look, you know, even if I am not who you want to be with, that's fine, I'm okay with that, just say so I don't feel like I'm pursuing you, because I was always told that the dog chases the cat.
But then he's getting confused, because he's not rejecting you, he's not giving you from his point of view, he's not giving you a message that you need to be with somebody else. He's just being a guy. That's all.
Yeah.
Well, I know. But see.
Ew, that's good.
Well, truly, Terry, because men and women are pretty different, we have to admit that a romance is actually an agreement to meet the needs of someone with different needs.
Right.
And we have to. Men and women have to consciously manage their brains. I think I probably should get into that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have old brains. What I mean is that our brains adapted to roles that we had for 0.9% of human history. We're just in a blink. In contemporary life, we're just in a blink, and our brains haven't adapted yet. So
right.
Most people know, you know, that men were hunters, women were nurturers for almost all of human history. And
exactly.
That makes men and women different in three different main ways that are going to affect romance. And I want to talk about those three, but as I do, keep something in mind, that what we humans tend to do is we say, because he's not like me, he doesn't love me. Okay?
Uh-oh.
So let me go into these three areas now. Keep
right.
that in mind. So number one, men had to, because of their roles, toughen themselves emotionally in order to kill and do battle. They had to suspend empathy. Because if you can imagine going into your backyard and there is Bambi's mother, but you have got to shoot her for dinner, you
mm-hmm.
would have to suspend your empathy to do that.
Right.
Now, we still have 179 remaining hunter-gatherer societies, and we can look at those now, and we know that it's overwhelmingly the man's job to hunt and to make war. Now, at the same time that guys were toughening themselves, women were doing the opposite. They were giving
mm-hmm.
birth, which hormonally flooded them with empathy, that
right.
is, the ability to get into somebody else's shoes and feel their feelings, because Mother Nature knew that you don't keep infants and little children alive unless you can read their minds. Figure
exactly.
out what they're going to do next. Figure out what they want. And so women were given that ability. So that's mm-hmm. number one. Number two, in terms of differences that affect romance, number two is when male hunters killed or pursued animals, their testosterone rose sharply. Now, that made their sex drives high, but it did other
it
things.
Just got boo, alpha man.
What's that?
They say, I'm alpha man now. I done killed.
Yeah.
I done got the food for the family, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And that testosterone also causes a guy to be self-oriented or self-interested. Now, that causes a guy to appear confident, which is women are quite attracted to that part, and that's testosterone, right? That's part of
right.
men and basic. Now, today, men have 10 to 20 to 30 times the testosterone that a woman has, gigantically more, okay? So women, at the same moment, were developing a different hormone that is pretty opposite. It's called oxytocin. And that particular hormone does not cause you to be self-oriented or self-interested, and it does not raise your sex drive. Instead, oxytocin is everything that a baby needs from you. It causes you to be giving, to be self-sacrificial, to even give yourself up for the development of the child. It also causes you to bloom emotionally. Now, it was important that her sex drive wasn't too high, because she needed a high-touch but non-sexual relationship with her children in order to stimulate their brain growth. Now, if a man is hurt that a woman's sex drive is not what hers is, and that is very confusing to a man, okay? If he
mm-hmm.
assumes that that's because she doesn't love him, he's wrong. That isn't what that means. It's about difference in brain structures that has to do with the roles that we had for almost all of human history. Okay, so there's a third thing. This is one more difference between men and women
okay.
that are romance, and that is that men developed as silent stalkers of prey, using language.
What?
Silent, quiet stalkers.
I like to
animals.
Stalk the word, but okay.
Yeah, silent. Because they couldn't, if they talked, they would arouse the fight or flight in the animal or the enemy, and
mm-hmm.
they would flee. So they learned to use language in staccato social ways. They didn't develop language in the way that women did, because women were teachers of kids, and you can kind of talk all day doing that thing. And they
right.
also were cooperating with other women so they could go out into the woods which were dangerous, and gather roots and food and so on and remain safe. So if a woman assumes that because a guy doesn't use language in the way that she does, that he doesn't love her, she's wrong. Because the different use of language has to do with our fundamental brain chemistry.
Makeup.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know,
so you,
I know Mark got a question, but,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I'm glad you broke it down like that because, you know, I was feeling like, you know, how long should I stay patient? Because, you know, I feel like name it and claim it. You want this, act like you want it. I'm sorry. That's how I was brought up, you know. I'll be patient. I'll be understanding. I'll be communicative with you. But at the end of the day, you know, don't keep me waiting because, you know, somebody else is chomping at the bit, okay?
Yeah. you know, Terry, sometimes if a guy really likes you, he backs off.
Why?
And well, because he's trying to figure out what to do. And if he's trying to digest how he feels about it.
Well,
so
he's just talking to me.
I know, but it can be a compliment. It can be he's backing off and detaching for the purpose of analyzing the relationship to see what it is for him. Women tend to do that inside a relationship, right, when they're attached, but men tend to detach in order to do that.
Okay. Well, Mark Durney, I know you got a juicy question for Dr. Foster. What is it, baby?
No, I'm just fascinated by this idea that men are systemizers and women are empathizers, and the whole motivated by wins idea. That is really, really wonderful. So it all begins with the women have to shift their expectations of romance, and now they can change the world.
Good. Yeah, actually, that's a big fat statement, but I think there's a lot of truth in that. I think a lot of women are in angst, in pain over their relationships. They don't understand what's going on. And in actuality, they would do better in their relationships with men, giving less to it. And
really?
Using their amazing brains, we'll talk more about that, and their empathy to give to the world in a larger sense.
I'm thinking. I have Hillary Clinton's face in my brain right now for some odd reason.
I think that women have a natural nurturance for the planet Earth, for instance. And in a political realm or business realm or whatever, women have so much to give there, just a natural sense of how to do that. And I think more and more we will see that, and it will be wonderful.
Yeah, I look forward to that as well.
Yeah.
Now, you had said one part, Dr. Foster, you said that when the guy, like, for instance, get the kill if he's being a hunter, that also turns up his sexual drive.
Yes.
How does that relate to a woman whose sexual drive is already there? You know, some people act like, you know, you're not supposed to act like you like it. The guy got to be the one who come at you first. But, you know, a lot of guys, closets kept, they don't know their hair from their butt because a lot of guys, they will be doing the right thing sexually to your body, and then they won't read the body language, and they'll flip around and stop and do something different, and then the mood is broken, and then the female is frustrated, and she done. She don't want to continue because you had her in the groove, and she's sweating, she's breathing all deep, and her back is arched, and you can tell you're right there. Why would the guy be right there, and they stupidly go somewhere else, but get mad when a female say, no, stay right there because they want to be the one in charge.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
There's a lot we could say about all that. And some of those guys honestly have erectile disorders and they're struggling. We have a big problem in our world right now due to pollution and certain estrogens being that have been put into foods that wreak havoc with a guy's testosterone. And so you can have erectile difficulties even in men that are in their 30s. You know, so that's one piece of that. The other thing I'd say, though, is that the medial preoptic area, one of the brain's places, is 2.5 times greater in men. And it relates to sexual stuff. Okay, and that includes, like, the sexual hunt, which is why self-help books tell women to let the guy pursue her. And he could be turned off if he doesn't feel the hunt, which really means he won't feel this area of his brain that connects with masculinity. Now, I know, Terry, women get frustrated when the guy detaches. They're happy to let him hunt if he wants to get with the program and hunt. But if he's going to detach, then it gets darn frustrating. But that it's still there, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So there's but even in within the sexual relationship, there is a need to allow him to make a lot of the moves. It relates to the same area of the brain.
I understand what you're saying. You know, I don't want the guy to feel like a wuss, but, you know, I don't want to spend my time, you know, getting all dolled up, smelling all good, and then you're sitting there fumbling and can't get it right. Okay, if I say, get the nipples. Come on now, put a little pain right there. I want you to get that. Don't be like, oh, no, that's going to be too painful. Look, I'm telling you what I want. Hello? Hit that. Switch that a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But they just don't want to listen.
You know, it's a good point, Terry. And I think there has to be a neutral dialogue, not at the moment of sex, when so many things are on the line and it's a little vulnerable.
Yes.
You know, a separate time. To say this is what I like sexually and let the guy get a hold of it so that he can internalize it and then feel some sense of mastery about it before he begins, you know, before he's sexual with you again. And of course, on the other hand, there are people that just aren't sexually compatible. They're just not.
Ain't that the truth? And we don't have to hold that thought because we got to take a small break. We'll be back at 2 and 2.
Okay.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike. Hey, how y'all doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. Just been really good. Sorry I haven't been here this week. Yeah. I haven't forgotten, but I will be there next week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey man, I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. But things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen it.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Who is this at my house? Oh, hell no. I know ain't nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, going day.
Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday
at 7:30 p.m.
About the naked truth about men and romance. And you know something? She's putting it out there. If you got a question for her, because she ain't going to be here long because she is busy, I am her third interview today, and I'm so humbled that she decided to give me a shot because she had a long day today. So if you want to talk to her real quick because this show is live, you need to call 347-945-6003 and hit that one key. Let me know you got a question. But before I get back to my question, I'm going to give my co-host, Mark, opportunity to ask his. So go ahead, baby. Ask your question.
Yeah, doctor. I find this quotation on your webpage very interesting, and maybe you can explain it to me.
Okay.
It said, most couples have had hundreds of arguments, have not had hundreds of arguments, but they've had the same argument hundreds of times.
I forgot about that. That's right.
I love it.
That
can be for anybody. That can be for anybody. But can you explain that a little bit more?
Well, the truth is, Mark, that in a couplehood, our real argument is, do you love me? I'm not sure.
Exactly.
That's the guts of most couple arguments. That's what we get serious about. Now, let's even take... a woman makes dinner, and she never knows when her guy's going to show up for it. So she puts it in the fridge, and then she puts it in the microwave, and she puts it in the fridge. And, all her cooking, all her creativity goes down the drain, right? And she's
very
hurt.
She
feels hurt. And so she does what women tend to do, again, being driven by empathy, that she comes at him with an explanation of her feelings, okay? So she believes that any minute he will get this, and he will go, okay, I can fix this. So she says, gosh, it's so inconsiderate. I just, it feels so thoughtless that you do this. If you respected me, it seems like you would blah, 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 okay? Now, I've already talked, because I've told you it would be much better if she said, I would appreciate it so much if you would text me at 4:30 and tell me when you're going to be home for dinner. Then he goes, appreciate. I could have a win here. And then he can go with it, especially if every time he actually does it, she says, I appreciate that so much. Thank you. That was good. Because guys need that kind of encouragement. But what happens is we don't do that. So we end up having the same argument that's really about, do you love me? Do you think of me? Do you care about me? Over and over again. It takes on a little bit different topics, but in truth, that's the subject matter.
That's the core argument.
in the same, scenario you just created, would it be wrong for that same female to say, after she done fixed this dinner, she done had the candles burning and they burned down to number a blob of wax, to just throw the stuff in the trash and say, forget you, because you didn't have the decency to call when you know that we have this routine, you're home every day by 6:30 and you ain't show up and you ain't call, and then you got me panicking thinking that something happened to you? Is that fair for her to be angry?
Well, it all depends on what you want to happen. I mean, of course, a woman can get angry if she wants to, but in a lot of situations, she will get more, if she lays out what he can do to make her happy. Now, I get you're talking about they've agreed on a certain time and it happens week after week and then he neglects it. And in that kind of a place, I don't have any trouble with her throwing it away as long as she enjoys her own dinner and candlelight by herself. But, if she wants to then throw it away to kind of set a boundary, and that's fine, yeah.
Well, the subject about men and women is so fundamental. Is a big
it
gap
is.
There. Because depending on how you was raised, now some women are raised like I was raised, that women are supposed to be cherished. It's the man's role to be the provider. It's the man's role to make her feel protected. Because I'm a preacher's kid, we are trained in my family that man is the head of the household.
Mm-hmm.
So when they don't do those things that make me feel protected, or they don't act like, you know, they got me emotionally as well as physically, you know, it kind of throws a wrench in the game because I'm confused now.
Now, on the emotional part, and I think most women are with you, they expect that also, but Terry, the fact is that men are different emotionally, and they don't know how to do a lot of that stuff, and it doesn't come naturally to them. So after I wrote The Naked Truth About Men and Romance, I wanted to write something that would actually allow the principles to come into play in a practical way. So I wrote a book called What Women Want Really, and that is written to men because, you know, guys don't really buy self-help books and relationship books. So this is very brief and bullet-pointed and to the point, but it's meant to be read by couples. And I really love to see couples read the book 2 times a year to get back on track. And then the woman doesn't have to say over and over the kind of stuff she needs because the book says it. And it also gives discussion questions, not for him to answer, but for her. He asks them, she answers. Because honestly, women need to do a lot more talking in a relationship than a guy does, and a woman will feel more satisfied with that, you know. So the book is just a real practical way to be able to talk about this stuff without doing it cold turkey.
Exactly, which, you know, it seems like guys, you know, they think that we're supposed to know what they're thinking. Now, I've heard people say in the past, women from Venus and guys from Mars, you know, and I guess we are different because, like you said, we are emotional, and
yeah.
Guys look at us like, why are you getting so upset? Because we be thinking, okay, well, come on. You say we want to talk and communicate, and in reality, they don't communicate. I'm supposed to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, so what's
Terry,
so do? Get me a turban, put on my damn head and say, hey, I can see the future now. Come on now.
let me talk about that piece in more depth. About language, okay, and about women's needs. Okay, so let's say there's 2 heterosexual women. They go to lunch, and they want to deepen their friendship. So we know how they're going to do it. They're going to share negative emotion. They're going to make disclosures. They're going to say, you know, it really hurt when such and such happened. Or, I felt so cheated at work when they passed over me for a raise or whatever. They're going to seek to be very real with each other. And that works. The 2 women feel much closer after that lunch. So let's say that one of these women then goes to dinner with her guy at dinner that night, and she wants to deepen the closeness in that relationship, so she does the same thing. She starts talking about her negative emotion, only it doesn't work. Because his mirror neurons, which is a part of his brain, begin jumping up and down, and they go in search of the fastest way to get her out of emotional distress because he cares about her. Now, he has no idea that he's about to shut her down. You know, she doesn't want or need to be fixed. She's trying to just make disclosures to make them closer. So, but it feels like he just poured cold water over her. So she decides, and I think this is what most women do. She says to herself, well, that didn't work. So then she tries getting him to open up emotionally and talk. But a guy's mind is often in neutral. He feels, quote, fine, unquote. And he's there to relax with her. And so she gets nothing. Now, sophisticated MRIs now show us what's going on with this whole thing, because by the time a girl's 17, her brain has transformed so that the processing of negative emotion, and that's what she uses to make disclosures with, it moves up to the cerebral cortex, or the highest brain. And that's where the higher mental functioning takes place, like reflection, language, reasoning. So she can now easily explain what she feels and why she feels what she feels. She has a special ability to hook words up to feelings, and she can reason through her emotion. So her emotional intelligence takes a leap. And now she's quite different from a guy. She thinks her feelings, and she feels her thoughts. So talk becomes important because that's how you do that, and her identity becomes associated with her thought feelings. Now, negative emotion remains in the primitive brain for guys. So whether you ask a 7-year-old guy or a 57-year-old guy why he's mad or sad, he's likely to say, "I am not," or "I don't know."
Yes.
What are you telling me? Hi, Mark. The men got a free chance to act like a fool.
So the,
they can
the
get away
is,
with anything because, "Oh, I'm wired that way."
Yeah.
But anyway, Mark got a question.
Oh.
No, I'm agreeing with the doctor on that one.
I know. I heard
you. I'm sure you are.
So men tend to be suspicious of their emotions and believe it's something to be bridled. They fear being reactive. And their emotions are less hooked up to thought than is a woman's. So if the woman comes and she sounds upset, he feels the most loving thing to do is to try to calm her down as quickly as possible. But for the woman, what the guy has to learn is that for a woman, her thought feelings are very different. And you don't want to be the guy who comes into therapy, because I've had lots of them. They sit down and they say they've been married for 30 years, and I say, "Tell me the issues." And the woman says, "He doesn't even know me." Now, the guy can argue that because he knows a lot of facts about her, but what she's trying to say is that he doesn't listen to her thought feelings and, in fact, cuts them off. So I joke with guys in therapy that they need a tattoo on the inside of one wrist that they can glance at really quickly that reminds them to say, "You're the most important person in my life. I want to know how you feel." And on the other wrist, "And tell me more about how you feel."
Excellent.
And, you know, another thing, too, Dr. Foster, you know, some things are just pretty basic. You know, a lot of guys, they have forgotten that once they are in a relationship, they don't understand that a woman needs to be held, needs to be hugged. You know, and I'm not talking specifically. I'm just talking about she needs to feel like, "You are my protector, and you are special to me." But a lot of people get into these relationships, and they go on about their business, and they got into a routine, and the routine is what usually kills things. But I have another question real quick. I know that, you know, for me, I'm practicing being celibate, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, why do people find it wrong to want to make a commitment with me because they feel like they ought to get a chance to test the waters first to make sure that I'm going to be good. Just like some women don't want to be with a guy and get married and find out they ain't got nothing, they ain't working with nothing. And, you know, I'm sorry, but I do believe that sex is a big part of a relationship, because if the sex ain't good, relationship is going to wind, somebody going to cheat, you know. And I ain't got to do nothing with you. I can wait till I get married. But is it wrong to say, can I see what I will be working with?
Well, that a guy.
I'm a greedy woman. I'm sorry.
A guy would have trouble with you being celibate because men are 4 times more likely than women to see sex and emotional closeness as the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, women don't do that. Women see sex as symbolic of the emotional closeness that they already have with a guy. So women are less physical in general.
No one feel like they're getting, the people looking at them like, you know, they're just an easy lay, because a lot of people, you know, they just want to come and hit it and quit, and they think because they know you and they can keep coming back, they think that y'all item. No, it don't mean that. As far as for me personally, you know, I want love. You know, I don't want nobody who just want to treat me like a toilet. Don't just dump up in me, you know. I want you to feel like, you know, I'm all that you want and all that you need. And so maybe that's why I'm single, because I ain't giving it up. You know, but, you know, I do believe that there's something about being celibate that you get a chance to learn the mind of that person that you want to be committed with, because a lot of people, they jump into sex, and then next thing you know, they whoop a knucklehead.
Yeah, I agree with you, Terry, that there needs to be a period of time where there's the promise of sex coming at some point. Most guys need that. But that you're not going to be sexual until you personally are ready. And quite frankly, that even though a guy may express frustration, it also arouses his sense. You remember I talked about the medial preoptic area that's 2.5 times greater than a female? That relates to the sexual hunt. Well, he, with a woman like you, he can really feel that. You know, he has to really work to get sex.
Yeah, baby, because, you know, I'm a diamond. I'm not a ruby. I got a lot going for the sister.
But there probably needs to be some sense that you're interested in sex and that you understand the importance of it. Yeah. Because, like I say, he's it's most likely that the guy thinks that sex and emotional closeness are the same thing. You know, the term making love probably came from a guy because he believed that when you have sex, you create emotional love, the emotion of love. Women don't think that way.
You know, I do like that, you know, it's okay for me being celibate, but, you know, just so that I know that when I get that right guy that I'm not a prude, I don't have no problem with the ambiance, the lights and the fireplace and you know, nice sparkling cider, you know, and I don't mind licking on his nipples and everything and chewing on this and everything, touching it finally, but he just can't go in, you know? Ain't none of that.
Yeah.
I ain't no prude about sex, baby. Hello.
Yeah, you probably drive him crazy, but
I'm a try.
Okay.
Mark, I know you want to say something, baby.
Saying.
Go right ahead.
Dr. Foster, how do our expectations of romance begin in childhood? I know in my own case, I was formed a lot by watching the early 60s movies like Doris Day and Rock Hudson.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how idyllic I thought my life was going to turn out. This is before I really, really knew I was homosexual. And it wasn't going to come out. I wasn't going to be, you know, like that. So how do our expectations of romance start?
It starts pretty early. Because, you know, the genders tend not to like each other very well, and so they separate into same-sex groups. And we do that until suddenly the sexual urge compels us to become not just friends, but intimates. So the way it begins is that girls are in separate groups, and they tend to focus on each other. Their dialogue is rich, and they make self-disclosures, and that's the key to deepening the relationship. So a girl comes into a romance with all those expectations. Now, guys tend to be in groups and center around a competitive activity like football or soccer or something, and conversation is minimized. You know, they establish boundaries, which is they establish hierarchies, which is relationally, that's a very different idea. And personal revelations are discouraged. I mean, you certainly don't say anything that makes the team think you're weak. That would be stupid. So our expectations of romance come out of our childhood, and women expect men to give what they give. That's reasonable, you know, we think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, emotional closeness through dialogue, empathic listening, that includes tuning in so they can ask relevant questions, being patient and attentive and watching for the rise of feelings as the other person talks. You know,
or
staying
even
with
Mark,
the speaker.
You're sitting there peeking through the door watching your parents. He said, oh, look at them.
yeah, which I did anyway.
Aha. So all that, you know, that that can translate when a woman gets into a romance to the adult female is tries to draw the guy out to get to his real feelings because she understands that that's what you do in a close relationship. And that's because in childhood that's how it was. Now, let me say something else about guys. Guys have another area of the brain that's bigger than it is in women. It's called the DPN for short. And it has to do with seeking to be one up or to have power or to be competitive and to be sensitive to territorial threats from other guys. So that part of the brain causes to develop more competitive relationships and not as relational they don't develop the relational abilities that women naturally do because they have this part. And so they tend to be more objective, more careful. They compete with another guy rather than getting close and making disclosures like girls do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we come out of that. So that's why I say we all have to consciously monitor and manage our old brains.
Amen.
To be able to meet the needs of the opposite sex.
Well,
so
doctor,
there's a way to deprogram all of those, that old way of thinking.
You won't deprogram it ever, but you will learn different skills.
Okay.
So the book What Women Want really is those skills.
Well, Dr. Catherine Foster, darling, I want you to let everyone know the names of your books, again, the cost of your books, and how to get a hold of you or purchase your books, because I know that you had a long day, and I appreciate you giving us an hour. So this is your opportunity, and also to give a shout-out.
Okay, thanks, Terry. All the books are on my website. It's Catherine Foster, PhD, and Catherine is spelled Katherine. If you go to the website and click on books, you'll see all five. Now, two of them are novels. Sessions, Memoirs of a Psychotherapist is the first one. And if you ever wished that you could be in a therapy session and see what people say and see what the therapist is thinking, that's kind of what that novel is about. There's a storyline, too, that involves quite a challenge for the therapist, Michael, who's a striking but narcissistic surgeon. And he finally discards his emotional hide-and-seek to disclose his raw pain. But the other novel is called Finding My Way, and that's about a female psychologist who has warm characters in her life, a 40-year-old romance with her gentlemanly dance partner, one she never marries, but they come from such dissimilar backgrounds, but they love dance. And then she has a great granddaughter who shares with her a burdensome but essential gifting of healing, and that results in a huge surprise for the main character, because who would guess that a child of 10 could change everything for her? So that's the novels. Then The Naked Truth About Men and Romance is what we've been talking about tonight. I also mentioned What Women Want Really, and that's written for guys but meant to be read by couples. It's good for Sunday school classes, by the way. And then the last book is called When Your Relationship Changes, and it's about divorce and breakups. And what can happen after that that's positive for you personally. It's kind of like having a psychologist whispering in your ear during the breakup.
That sounds good, because a lot of people don't know how to have an amicable breakup. They want to get sarcastic, mean, and nasty. And as you've seen on the news, some people have went so far as to do things against the other one that from throwing acid in the face, shooting her. Some people can't handle that emotion, you know, of separation. So that book will be priceless for people that, you know, fear they're going towards the end. But at this point, Dr. Foster, I would like for you to give any personal shout-outs, and then my co-host Mark will give a personal shout-out, and then we're going to take it home. And I just want to tell you, I so appreciate you being here and giving me that hour. It went so fast. I had so many questions, but I guess I'm going to have to get the book.
Well, Carrie, I come on again for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. When you write the kind of things that I write, you have to be incredibly grateful for the hundreds and hundreds of people who have come into psychotherapy and have been their most honest and most genuine with no bars hold. You know, they tell you everything, and it teaches the psychotherapist so much, and that's really where these books come from.
Yeah, so that's wonderful, humility, being humble and sharing, but that's a lot of information that, you know, everybody needs help, and since you have done your homework and got your master's and got that PhD behind your name, girlfriend, ooh, we got to get the book, you know, but I want my autograph.
You bet. Just send it to me.
All right. But, Mark, darling, you want to give a shout-out, baby?
Well, yeah, to you for you're such an inspiration, Terry. I know you're in pain, and you've been there before, and you always come through. I mean, it just makes me want to be just like you, you know.
Oh, bless your heart. No, I'm
you know,
taking Mark.
I love you so much.
I love you.
And also to our guest, Dr. Foster, this is very illuminating, and I'm going to get one of your books. What I'm interested in is when your relationship changes.
Okay.
That's something that because I went through a really, really bad breakup, and I'm still picking up the pieces from it, so I think that helped
me. This book will help you.
Yeah. And I'm glad your book, What Women Want, is in pocketbooks so that men can carry it around in the back pockets, right?
You saw that. Yeah, that's on the cover.
I saw that.
Cute.
Every man needs to have it in his back pocket, right?
That's right. That's what that's supposed to be saying.
Thank you, Doctor.
I just want to say thank you, Dr. Foster, for giving me an hour. And I'm on pins and needles. My medication is wearing off. And
oh, dear girl.
I'm sitting here.
I know.
Propped up, and so just all working for the good. You had a busy day, and I can't handle no more. But I just want to thank you, and I wish everybody go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, get her books. She got five of them out there, The Naked Truth, about men and romance. And that was such an insightful interview that you shared with us. So,
very
darling,
much so.
I want y'all to have a safe weekend. Drive safe. I'm out of here, and I'm taking you home with Michael Bolton. How am I supposed to live without you?
Very good.
Good night, Terry. Good night, Doctor.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night, darling. Didn't come here to break down. Just a dream of mine.